Welcome to the Eyewitness Fitness Podcast, where we discuss all things to help you improve your quality of life, including, but definitely not limited to, emotional, financial, and physical fitness, where our mission is to co-create world peace one person at a time by providing wellness lifestyle education. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have Dr. Michael A. Murphy. He's a double board certified in child adolescent and general psychiatry. He completed his fellowship and residency at the University of Virginia Health Services. He holds a Doctor of Medicine degree from the University of Florida and a Bachelor's of Science degree in chemistry while he was pre-med from Florida A&M University. His previous roles have included Medical Director of Harbor Point Behavioral Center and Chief of Behavioral Health at Fort Eustis. In addition to serving as residential and acute staff psychiatrist at Newport News Behavioral Health Center, he currently provides full-time telepsychiatry through Talkiatry. Dr. Murphy has an extensive history of providing care in numerous settings to include inpatient, outpatient, patient-aligned care team outreach, as well as acute and residential services. He also has a passion for teaching and having served as a preceptor for numerous nurse practitioners seeking independent practice in addition to speaking engagements and podcast appearances. He places an emphasis on empowerment and approaching wellness through mental, physical, spiritual, and financial health. Welcome, Dr. Murphy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I have met Dr. Murphy at the YMCA gym. He is a regular there. Always appreciate it. Whenever I walked in, I remember the first time we actually spoke, you were like, wait, I'm supposed to be on the on the calf raises when you come in or whatever. Like our schedules were that synced.
I am a creature of habit.
Yes.
And I can actually, I know exactly where I'm at simply by what the environment looks like when I'm there.
Yeah. So anyhow, I've always just been inspired by your consistency and obviously your physique, as we will talk in a bit about how much weight you have lost and how you've been able to maintain and keep that off and what you've done to accomplish that. And also one day I do remember introducing you to my son who wanted some advice, and you gave him amazing advice that I don't think he had ever heard anywhere on the internet or anywhere. So I was very grateful for that. So thank you so much.
When I started off at the gym around 15, that's what people did. To educate each other and help each other out. And so I'm always glad to spread knowledge. I tell people, when you go to a gym, you see somebody who has anything that you want, ask them.
Yeah. That's the best advice to get from someone who already has what you have, instead of like taking advice from
someone
who
doesn't know anything.
Yeah, right. Obese or sick people. It just blows my mind sometimes.
Or people who are trying to sell you something.
Yes.
Right? Who are trying to sell you on a shortcut or easy way out. And that's why you have to be mindful of the knowledge you get.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about your story. You started going to the gym when you were 15. And
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think I was a little chubby kid, right? Back then, fifth, sixth grade, you had to wear the Husky pants, right? I mean, They were built for bigger kids. So everybody else could wear their Levi's and all these type of things. And you had these pants with a big woof that they only sold at like JCPenney and other stores. And I remember wearing those, and I wanted to change what I looked like, right? And then you reach your middle school ages, and all of a sudden you get interested, and you're trying to fit in, and you wanna change how you look and how you feel. And at that point, wasn't as athletic, so I started going to the gym, and my dad would take me there. You know, some of it too, when you're a little heavier as a child, and I always warn parents about this: the things you say to your children stick in their head,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, when you're told things how, like, you don't look good, a certain thing, or clothes don't look right on you, you take that to heart. And I think it can fuel some things later on, but it can become a destructive mind state when you fuel your energy and your fitness about hating your body. And that can happen a lot for a lot of people, and I think that's why a lot of people get discouraged and frustrated, because what they're using to fuel that improvement can get them in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so I was more athletic in my teenage years, got off to college. Like I said, I walked into a gym at 15, Big John, everybody at World's Gym adopted me. I was called Scooter, because I'd go up there in my little moped. And they taught me how to work out. They taught me how to lift weights. They taught me different things. I wasn't always good about diet. like most teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Then we get off to college, and in college, I still working out on a consistent basis because, well, it was just a sense of relief. It was something I really enjoyed doing. And I got an early admissions in the University of Florida, and I tell you, if you want to talk about gyms, incredible. Oh, incredible, the best gyms yes. you could ever imagine at a campus. And at that time, I was in medical school, and I was always told, make sure you do something that helps keep you human, helps keep you grounded, something you enjoy. Because if you wrap your identity up just around school or other things, then when things aren't going well, you don't have any other things to fall back on, right?
Yeah.
It's like if school is everything, and all of a sudden I don't do well on that first test, now I don't see myself as anything but a failure. But if, say, I'm working out and I'm doing other things, I don't define myself simply by what I do, then I can get better,
right?
And over time, I around that time, especially when I was going to university, I wanted to really get in good shape. And back then, you could do some things that maybe were a little unhealthy, right? I was dieting and exercising and dropped from about 235 to about 200.
Wow.
But that wasn't enough, right?
Oh.
So back then, they had this thing called the stack. I don't know if you remember, but so you could buy ephedra, caffeine, and aspirin, and you would take it three times a day, and you would add your Hemby on the side of it. And people would take that. And you remember, ephedra was part of Fenfen. Remember, Fenfen
yes,
was
I
killing
do
people.
Remember.
So they split it up, though. Fentramin just became the soccer mom's favorite diet medication until everybody could just get their hands on Vyvanse. While the ephedra went back on the whole food market. Remember, it was called Mao Wang. You could buy it in the Mother's Earth store. So people would try this. It was advertised in your muscle building magazines, like Muscle Mag and all that. This is how you can get in shape. And I did that for a couple of weeks, and I swear in 2 weeks I dropped like 20 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was during that time I actually realized I had a first-degree heart block, so my heart didn't speed up like other people because everybody else was like, I feel jittery, I feel shaky.
Right, palpitations. Now,
went through residency, and I think, you know, you start working a little more. You're in the hospital. Hospital food is not good for you. You're eating in the cafeteria.
Isn't that ironic?
Oh, when you're doing the ER shifts, you're at night eating late at night, man. And then I swear after my wife had her first baby, we both put on 30 pounds, you know.
Yours are sympathy pounds, right?
Yo, man, you know what? That's the last time I ate Taco Bell. Yeah, that's on my wall. But over years with work, I started working excessively, still working out because it was the one thing that helped keep me stay human, right? That one conversation meant so much.
Stayed with you.
You know, I think it's important to encourage people because you never know what you may say encouraging someone that just sticks with them.
Right.
So even when my bad times, rough times, I was doing that. So during that time, it was more frustration, work, but still trying to just do something. And then I burned out. Mm-hmm. I was taking on too much. I was running a private practice, working residential, working acute, driving over to Richmond on Fridays to come in. And even when I went over to become a medical director of a facility, I was working about 60 hours a week,
wow.
right? And trying to work out and not sleeping, but 3-4 hours at the most, it accumulated. The weight started coming back on. Cortisol levels are high. I'm stressed out. Before I knew it, I had cholesterol problems. Blood pressure was high. And I just had to do something different. And I decided to walk away. And emphasize what it is that I need to do for myself and really take a sabbatical and look at how I can improve myself in all aspects, you know, mind, body, spirit, financial. And I had to just take inventory and take stock.
Gotcha. And was your wife supportive of the
taking? Oh, man, she's been great with this process.
That's great.
About 5 years ago was the first time we did like the Whole 30. See, so I would put on weight, lose weight, and I'll never forget the Whole 30 diet. You know, and I'm not here to advertise any diet or anything, but it's that it really helped me to decrease my like of sugar and carbohydrates. Because by eliminating those things that, you know, when you're in the hospital, you're eating candy, you're eating from the snack machine, those things taste good. But when you eliminate the processed sugars out your diet for a while, you go back to eating things like raisins and strawberries and bananas, and they feel good for you, and it's energizing, and you're changing your taste buds. Your taste buds go back to what they should naturally be, as opposed to how we hijack our system. You know, we all know sugar's a drug.
Right. As addictive as cocaine, they say. Yeah.
Why do everybody, think about this. Everybody who stops using drugs, right, whether you are addicted to cocaine and you stop, whether you're addicted to alcohol and you stop, whether you have problems with opioids and you stop, most of them go to sugar.
Mm, yeah, it's like a transference of addiction.
It does something, it hijacks the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard about excitotoxins too, like things like MSG and things like that can also, you know.
There's a whole industry of food scientists who know how to do things to hijack our systems, and we don't even know it, right? Think about a baby. First time you give a baby table food, they never want to go back to anything else.
Yeah,
Right? And
that's
why? Because
true.
they've been introduced to salt now. They got the sugar now. They got the things that are always the best for you.
Yeah, great. So you made that decision to switch. You had the support of your wife, and then how did that transition go for you when you decided from the burnout to
So I you know, I prayed on this. I was given direction. I said, you know what, December 15th, you're leaving. And I didn't know where I was going next, right? And over the years, I'd been working on my spiritual life in conjunction with everything, right? Trying to get things in perspective, trying to get back to a better me, trying to become the best me I can be, right? As a psychiatrist, I always look at Freud. You know, Freud did his diagrams are a little crazy, right? Because it's a little difficult to sort of write God out the picture. So now we gotta do id, we gotta do ego, we gotta do super ego, we gotta do this ideal self. We, as a psychiatrist, you look at all these things and you say, hold on, let's get back to the basics. Let's see how this all makes sense, right? How does this all make sense? And sometimes you gotta stop what you're doing and get into a quiet place in order to get your thoughts together and make sense of it all. And so I've looked at how these systems apply not just to my mental health, but to my spiritual health, to my physical health, to my financial health. I wanted to explore all those things and put them all together, and I came up with a plan, you know. Sometimes I think the problem we procrastinate on things is that we want to make everything a big project, right? If it's a big project, now I can just delay it because I don't have the time. No, I said, let's make small changes, let's make little things. And even though you don't have a job, because I literally, when I walked away from my job, I had no job.
Oh
You
wow.
know, I got
Nothing lined
skills,
up.
never had no license problems, good to go.
Yeah.
I could always get something, but I didn't want to just get something. I said, if you got something for me, I'm gonna wait on it. And what I thought was gonna be a 3 months off became 6 months off, right?
Wow.
About 4 months, I was like, huh, Lord, I don't know, man, because my finances was looking kind of,
Yeah.
but I kept the faith, and I said,
That's
get up
awesome.
every morning, 5 o'clock at the gym, exercise, come home, act like you got somewhere to be.
Awesome.
Study like you got something to do. And to me, routine and consistency are so important. And so your body, you train your body, right? You train your body. And as you do things and push yourself to do things, eventually it doesn't even become a push anymore. It just becomes what you do.
Yeah.
And that's sort of
Habit.
where it all moved to, where now I get up at three something. I'm at the gym at five. I got my music. I've learned too not to fuel myself by anger or frustration, right? Now I feel myself in the sense of I want to empower my body to sort of manifest what my spirit is, right? I want to be big. I want to be bold. I want to be powerful. I don't set a weight loss goal. I don't set a idea of how much weight I want to put on. I don't try to look at the weight and say, nah, I got to make sure I get this, and now I'll be happy when I get this. No, because this is a journey. And I want to continue to do the things that make me feel good. And being able to push your body to a limit to where you can see yourself freeing yourself is just it's cathartic in a sense. It just brings something out of you. You know, you push
Already.
yourself to the point where it doesn't even hurt anymore.
Yeah,
And if
yeah.
you get to that point, man, you just feel it. It's like electric flowing through you. You know, the whole idea of the whole of my concept of getting my spirit into it is, if I can understand that there's something inside of me that can tap into a source of energy that is greater than I can even imagine, then how can I not push it through my body and show it when I lift something, and
Yeah.
show it when I push something, right? It's like every day you can almost take on something bigger. There's leaps and bounds in regards to what I've been able to do, in a sense, because I tap into that spot.
The flow
the
state.
flow, you know,
Yeah.
like Bruce Leroy, man, you get that glow. I
Yeah.
got the music going, I feel the glow, and it's just the power. And I will tell you, it's like I have the same music on in the mornings. I listen to the same CDs. My body is knowing when it's time to cut on. You know, it's a system.
Yeah.
And the more we can get routines and systems in place, the better it feels and the more things flow.
Right. You're allowed, it allows your kind of your brain to, you know, it takes away decision fatigue as far as that goes, and then it allows you to focus on other things that need attending to while you're you know, in the flow, and just, I think it all just kind of collaborates and goes together. But
precisely,
yeah,
right? You don't have to worry about, you don't think about, what am I going, am I going to the gym this morning?
Yeah.
Why
don't
you?
Yeah,
I never thought about not going,
right?
Because my body knows this is where. Matter of fact, I've had moments where I don't use an alarm, right? Uh-huh. I've had moments where my body has woken me up because I dreamed I was not at the gym.
Oh.
And looked and behold, it's like I'm running 20 minutes behind. It's like automatic. Right?
Yeah.
It knows it's supposed to be there.
That's great.
It'll wake you up.
Yeah. That's great, because I feel like having those healthy habits then are also helping you cope with things as well. So then, you know, even though you're having less decision fatigue, you're having better coping skills. So it just opens up for that flow and all the good things to start happening and coming.
Now a note from our sponsors at GoalTemplates.com. On the journey to success, you may be led down many different pathways, but you want to know the fastest and easiest way to attain success is to use goal templates. It's the 5-step process to accomplish any goal without letting self-sabotage stop you. You get a printable goal template, online training on how to use the template, community support, and a valuable life skill that will improve the quality of life for generations to come. Check us out at Goal, G-O-A-L, Templates, T-E-M-P-L-A-T-E-S.com, GoalTemplates.com.
To you. So now that you have your spiritual kind of supporting you and going towards you, you have the support of your wife, and you've taken the break, and you've four months, you were starting to maybe question a little bit what was going to happen or what God's plan was, and then at 6 months, what happened then?
So I was interested in doing telehealth because I really like being at home, right? I had been at home, working out at home for 7 months before I decided to take that break. And when I took the break and I was no longer working, that's when I was like, I need to get out the house, right? So I'm starting to work out the YMCA. I'm getting into that system. And lo and behold, the idea of the job, it comes on where I can work from home. And you know, it's interesting. Like I tell you, when you set up your system, I set up my system of my behaviors, my workouts, my eating habits, my sleeping habits. And then all of a sudden, the perfect job came along that fit right into my schedule. So I didn't have to change anything.
That's beautiful.
My first day of work, I didn't have to change what time I got up at it because I never stopped getting up like I had somewhere to go.
Right. You kept, you know, like the fake it till you make it, or kept doing
That's it. You do it until it manifests itself.
Yes.
You know,
100%.
And so that came in, and now it's, I was also being moved to do some teaching and increase my influence, because I think that there's a lot of people out there like me who have been raised in that mentality of work hard, play hard, and the work continues to take over sometimes. And we find ourselves, particularly as we get into our 30s and our 40s, not feeling good, not taking care of ourselves, falling apart, not enjoying it, right? It's like all of a sudden going to take care of your physical body becomes a hassle. And you don't ever want it to feel like a chore. This should feel like I'm preparing myself for something. I'm living what I want to live. I'm manifesting myself. Not, man, I got to get to the gym again.
Yeah.
Like, now, man, I don't like how it looks, man. The negativity. So,
yeah.
You know, I want to be able to meet with people, work with people, and sort of get them to realize the joy and the growth that you can get when you buy into understanding that we're more than just a body.
Yes. I think that mental shift is key. Like, exactly what you're saying. Like, not thinking I'm going to the gym to lose weight or hit some numbers or whatever, but like to that you're going out and you're doing something positive with it. Instead of like having the negative, you have the positive, and then it just totally switches your perspective.
See,
100%.
You know, goals can be a double-sorted thing for some people, right? Because when you have a mentality of overall wellness and investing in yourself, it's not a short-term, or I get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when people set goals, they don't understand what that goal is actually going to encompass or what that goal is going to allow them to appreciate. Like, so a person will set a weight loss goal and then realize that they still don't look the way they want to look. So now they're frustrated because they said in their mind, when I get 20 pounds lighter, I'm going to do this, but that's not how they look. So now they don't feel like they're doing anything and they may easily give up,
mm-hmm.
right? Or a person says, well, because I fell short of being able to make it 5 times a week, after the third week, then this is not working for me. Where, no, if you were to actually set a goal of like 2 days a week and then end up growing this and understand this is a journey where we progress along the time, then you don't get frustrated with yourself. You realize that there are times where I can't always meet my ideal self, mm-hmm. but I can continue to work towards it until I make it my system. Right? So that's where goals can be tricky. And also, people can utilize your goals to manipulate you. And that's why I think the fitness as a system can be so exploited to people, because they give you these unrealistic goals and tell you somehow they're going to let you make it in such a short period of time. And they sell you something that people buy into. And then they tell you that if you're not doing it, then it's because you're not working hard enough. And now you got the guilt on top of the fact that someone was just having you chase a carrot in the wrong place, right? And that can play with people's minds. Now I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I don't like going here, I can't meet my goals, I don't want to do this. And they let themselves go, and it can become a vicious cycle. Right? And now you can end up hating yourself.
Right.
And that's not what we want to encourage people to do.
Right.
So it's if goal setting is big for you, make the goal of wanting to improve yourself. Make the goal of wanting to have motion. Make the goal of wanting to feel better in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But because those kind of cause you to be in the
present moment,
which then that, you know, opens up for a lot of different possibilities to come to you. And I always, whenever people say that, I always think, oh, that's just, everyone says that. But one thing I heard was really cool is like when you listen to a song, you're enjoying the song. You're not excited or waiting for the end of the song.
Right.
So that's why I think whenever somebody says, enjoy the journey, enjoy the fitness journey, and know that it's a journey. I mean, yeah, you may have these goals and you want to reach them or whatever, but it's really in the moment, having that positive spin and, you know, being present with it, you know, that's the fun part of it, well, you know?
You do, it's, my wife joke, I say it's the bodybuilder mentality, which is this, I have to push myself as hard as possible. I have to be able to appreciate where I am, and yet I have to also be able to appreciate that I can do better. Right? And some people don't see those things as intertwined or feel that they're mutually exclusive. I can be comfortable with my growth and still want to do better. Doesn't mean I'm angry or frustrated or disappointed. It's just I know that there's probably more potential in me that I can tap. And if so, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You know, and the journey is filled with periods of frustration, right? As you know, one thing that leads to us putting on weight, at least one thing that led to me putting on weight, particularly during my 30s, I started getting injuries, right? I tore both quads squatting, right? And I will tell you this, there's a difference between a woman having a problem in the gym and a man having a problem in the gym. I was at the old One Life Fitness, I was squatting, I was getting back into squatting, I was...
How much were you squatting?
I was good. I was at 400, right?
Okay.
And I had done 400 the week before. I had gotten like 8 reps. And this time I'm going on my 3rd rep and I warmed up. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden I heard my left leg go.
Oh.
And then I squeezed my cheeks as hard as possible because I heard my right leg go. The weight went up. I put the weight up. I fell out. I swear I was on that ground for about 10 minutes. Did nobody ever come check?
Oh, no.
I dragged myself up. And here's what men do. And this is why we get injured in our 30s. I'm a physician. I know what a tear feels like, and I know a tear from a general strain.
Mm-hmm.
I proceed to drag myself home and pull myself up and get in my little jacuzzi tub, sit there for a while, and then try to convince myself that it was just sore, I'll be fine tomorrow.
Oh.
And the next morning when I stepped out of that bed, I went right to the ground.
Oh, dang.
Both quads. And I had a partial rotator tear, and then I was in a car accident where I was at a stoplight and a guy hit me going 55 miles an hour in a Suburban, and I was in my F-150, and all of a sudden I got whiplash. I got my L4 L5 is just like not there, right? And I was having to get injections in my spinal cord and not being able to work out. Then, you know, if you can't, you can convince yourself that if I can't work upper body, I'm going to come in and work lower body.
Yeah,
that don't last much longer. No, it doesn't. And so you're going to be going through situations where you're going to have to take time off. You're going to have to recover. You're going to have to understand injury. You're going to have to know the difference between real good pain and pain that's a signal that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
These things are things you'll learn along the way of that journey. And yes, it's frustrating. Right? I mean, when you can't get your body to do what you wanted to do, you're going to be agitated. The ego is a physical ego. You take a person and you handicap them. There's going to be some depression. When we lose our function as we get older, there's going to be some sadness. Why are older people depressed?
Yeah.
Well, because they don't have the movement. They don't have the body. They don't have control over their body anymore.
Yeah.
This is real personal on how we feel about us. We attach a lot to it.
Yeah, it's all part of our identity, right?
It's our face card.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, we do look at a person and by their appearance make assumptions about how they live their life. And people can be upset about that, but let's be honest. That's what we're meant to see differences.
Yeah.
That's why God gave us eyes.
Exactly.
That's why he gave us all kinds of shapes, sizes, and colors. Right? Doesn't mean you have to dislike a person's shape, size, or color. It's an understanding that the way you take care of yourself does say something about you, whether you like it or not, to include whether you're loving yourself appropriately.
Yes.
Right? Now, somebody may hate themselves and love themselves and still look the same, so you want to talk to them. Right?
Don't judge a book by their cover, right?
Like I say, I'm motivated by my spiritual self, right? But at the same time, the first time I got in shape, that wasn't what my mind state was.
Yeah.
My mind state was, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to sharpen this up, right?
Yeah.
Knowing I wasn't feeling healthy.
Yeah. Right? I mean, everyone's, I think, inspired by, you know, different things, so to speak, and different levels, too. Like, you know, there's this book called Relentless, written by Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan's coach, athletic trainer, and he talks a lot about that, about the dark side and how, like, basically super elite athletes have learned how to channel those dark sides of, like, you know, I'm gonna show them this and this and that, and how they can, like, you know, focus that in to make them do things that maybe they wouldn't have pushed themselves as hard to do or whatever. But yeah, so
anger can be a powerful fuel.
Yes.
However, it is also unpredictable.
Oh, right? That's true.
Because at the same time, if I'm fueled by anger and something happens and I get frustrated and I can no longer channel it through this athletic thing, then I may just have to put my hands on you.
Mm.
Now I got to get angry with the ref. Now I got to shoot this projection, this anger other places because it's not working where I want it to work.
Because
we say energy is neither created nor destroyed.
Just shifts forms. Yes. So yeah, that is true. I never really thought about that way. So yeah, well, these are all just such really good ideas. I love this. So I know you have been active lately in posting on social media, specifically Instagram. He's at Dr. Michael A. Murphy.
Michael Anthony Murphy.
Oh,
I use the whole name.
Okay, Dr. Dr.
Right.
And then
Michael Anthony Murphy.
Right. So if you are interested in hearing any more of his, you know, philosophies, and he'll go on to special things, you can comment below and ask him for specific topics to maybe talk about.
Sure. You know, so my goal ultimately is to increase my influence and work with people on how to really achieve wellness by looking at mental, physical, and spiritual and financial health, right? And to that extent, you know, I think I have good qualifications from a mental standpoint.
100%.
And as I've mentioned to you, I'm actually probably going to go out and take, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to, if I say it now, then I got to do it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a personal trainer course as well because I have the medical knowledge of the body, but I also want the certification. You know, listen, I'm a doctor. Yeah. That paper means a lot.
Yeah.
That paper means a lot.
I did the same. I'm a nurse and I went through ACSM, American College of Sports Medicine, and got my personal training license or certification. It's very easy.
I want to do that.
Relative to what we've had to know already. And it's literally just like boards. You go to like a thing.
Testing center
and
knock it out.
Yeah.
I want to then have that underneath my belt. And I've always believed in spiritual growth and never had a problem having conversations about that with people because I believe that as a provider and as an individual, I know what helps me stay well. And so I have no problem telling other people what helps me stay well and inviting them to take on that as well, because I think it really helps. And you know, from the financial piece, I ain't there yet, but I want to take more courses on that as well, so maybe I can help people out in that realm. I think right now I just want to improve myself and fill up my base of knowledge, but also the whole idea of being able to teach and help a lot of people through this journey. Right? I work for Talkiatry, and so I do 100% telehealth through Talkiatry, And my quote on there is, God works through other people. And I think I have the potential to share what I have gained from and what has been given to me to maybe allow other people to move forward and live out their potential. Now, they may have to go through some of the same things, but understand that the challenges that we face are not different, right? We all have frustrations, we all have challenges, we all have things we need to go through. And really, I can present as an alternative to what I see as real negative poison sort of things that are out there in Instagram and other social medias, where I feel people are being fooled into concepts, but also being disrespected. I mean, some of the language that you hear people using about people, and being called fat and being cursed at may motivate some, but it can also dishearten others, mm-hmm. right? And we need to look at how we're treating each other and talking to people and saying how we're motivating them. And everything doesn't work for everybody, right? I'm a child psychiatrist as well, right? You tell parents, there's no perfect way to parent,
yeah.
because we all have different parents. And my hope, though, is that I can present something that can be beneficial to the world. And so I want to increase my influence, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come in here and speak with your on your platform, because I want to be able to help.
Yeah, and I 100% know that you will, even just through this episode of this podcast and then your podcast and future wellness retreats or resorts.
That's it. I will tell you, yeah. I'm going to put it down. My goal is to start my own podcast by the end of the summer. I will be speaking at my church's men's second annual wellness retreat. That's Bethel Temple. And I'll be putting some information about that out. We really, if we look at it, and when I talked about my goal of doing wellness retreats, you know, I know there's a lot of people who have been in my positions, and I've been blessed with the ability to walk through a lot of this in a successful manner. And if I can help other people become successful, then let me get my certifications, do the things I need to do, and become active and move forward. And so I'd love to eventually move into more wellness retreats. We're going to be doing some seminars and things as we go forward. I've even spoken last year at the Capital City Salsa Congress. Good friend of mine, Shaka Gonzalez, is the president here. Let me go up there and just have general conversations about wellness. You know, awesome. And that was a great opportunity. Not to mention, that's a great community, right? Dance, music, spiritual language, flow. If you ever get a chance, you got
to
try.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
I don't know if you do salsa dancing.
I can learn.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm still learning. I still got my tapes, and Shaka gave me a personal DVD set. So,
nice.
It's great stuff, man.
Very
but,
cool.
But that's what I want to do. You can reach me at Dr. Michael Anthony Murphy. That's on Instagram and TikTok. Or if I still do care through Talkiatry, and I'm still mm-hmm. taking clients as well. I'm licensed in Virginia, New York, D.C., and Maryland.
All right.
And so I still see children as well in that.
Okay. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining. I want to acknowledge you for all of the journey that you've gone through, the openness to share your journey and to help others grow, because I know sometimes people are, you know, embarrassed or, you know, but I love that you're using your knowledge from that you've gained from education and your experience and your practice, and then using it on yourself and knowing that it's tried and true. You're definitely a good source of knowledge, 100%.
One last point I just want to mention,
uh-huh.
which is, remember this, we're all on individual journeys, and we're all meeting each other at different places along that journey. And so never mess around and compare yourself and where you are with somebody else if you don't understand where their journey is and where they've been on that journey, because you're doing yourself a disservice, right? Some people are on their way up, other people are on their way down, and you should never use that as a means of how you should judge how you should feel about yourself. Just allow yourself to be on your individual journey and work towards progressing yourself, and leave the comparisons to the competitors.
Amen. Comparison is the thief of joy, as they say.
We only compare ourselves to people who we feel less than.
Oh, right? True. All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a good day. Thanks for listening to this episode of Eyewitness Fitness Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about what kind of online wellness courses we offer, they are all listed on eyewitnessfitness.com. That's eyewitnessfitness.com. Thanks again, and have a wonderful day.
Don't forget to check out goaltemplates.com, the proven 5-step technique used to accomplish any goal, brought to you by Eyewitness Fitness.